What's up, everyone? Welcome to the seventh episode of the Secure D podcast. My name is Matt and I am Secure D. My guest today is again Laurie, and we quickly recap over my trip to Sydney for the West Point Shopping Centre appearance. I just want to give a quick shout out to Jay and the boys at TKS for helping me get around and showing me some of Sydney. And then we obviously go over Air Max Day, some of our favorite Air Max releases. We talk about the impending licensing for the NBA, just a whole variety of fun stuff. This was just a really fun podcast to record. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Don't forget to send in on Twitter your topic suggestions for the next episode and we'll shout you out if we use it. Cheers, guys. What's happening, dude? How are you?
Yeah, good, man. Yourself? Just getting over a little bit of a mini cold, but nothing to worry about.
Throwing it out there early. I don't think I can even tell.
But what about yourself?
Yeah, everything's good. Been very busy since I got back from Sydney, which was a lot of fun last weekend. So I had the appearance at West Point.
Yeah, nice.
Which went really well. So we were on the roof and unfortunately the weather wasn't great, but we still had, you know, hundreds of people turn out.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah. And they, like, the setup looked fantastic. The trainer container looked really great. The shoe display was solid. Like, they had these really cool acrylic displays that I wanted to steal. Like, they looked fantastic. They really did present it well. And yeah, so people were loving the shoes and, yeah, it was fun. It was out in Western Sydney. I stayed in a hotel that had like blood splattered curtains, which sounds ridiculous, but like, you saw the picture on my Facebook?
Yeah, like, well, I was going to say, like, I saw your photo of the container and I didn't really see any, well, I wasn't too sure where it was, but it looked amazing. Like, they've obviously gone all out on this.
Yeah, great. They did, yeah.
And then, yeah, I did see a picture of some curtains. Listen, wherever they choose to put you in a hotel, what was going on there?
I don't know. Apparently Angelina Jolie stayed there recently. I think that was, like, what someone in the hotel told me, but it was a nice hotel. It was a Novotel. It was a nice hotel in a suburb called Rudy Hill, which is hilarious because I can't believe there's a suburb called Rudy Hill.
Yes.
But, like, I was just sending a Snapchat, like, to family and friends to say, like, yeah, I got to Sydney fine. Like, I'm in the hotel. And as I was panning, it didn't dawn on me in real life that it looked like there was blood splatter all over the curtains.
Yeah.
It only dawned on me in digital form when I looked at my phone. And then I, like, you know, you watch a video back before you send it. And I was just like, holy crap, there is blood splatter all over the
curtains.
Yeah,
I'm sure it looks more saturated. It's as well on the photo.
Yeah, but, definitely.
Yeah, it's a little bit, I don't know if it's worrying or not, but did you check it?
The funny thing, like, the general consensus from everyone was just like, that's a great way to hide a murder. It's just like, do blood splatter all
hide
over the curtains.
In plain sight.
Yeah, but it's seriously got to be like, I know we're not talking about shoes right now, but it's seriously got to just be like this whole, well, we need 3,000 pairs of curtains. What's the cheapest curtain you've got? Or no one's buying the one with the blood splatter on it? Well, that's not a surprise. We'll take those.
We'll take the whole set.
We'll take all 3,000. Yeah.
No, just ship them out here.
But I just wrapped up. So part of that live appearance was the shoes, obviously, that we gave away or were giving away. I think that was announced today.
Oh, and, cool. Like everyone entered today or something?
Yeah,
like
so
that?
There was two kinds of competitions. The first was an online competition where you could write and say what your dream theme for a shoe custom would be. And then out of those, you know, entries, one's going to be picked as the winner from West Point, and they're going to put the winner in contact with me, and I'm going to design them a shoe based on their dream, which is really cool. Some of the themes were fantastic. And then I obviously painted the three as well for the event, and they were given away to people who came to the trainer container and picked their favorite. So you got to pick, say, which one of the shoes was your favorite, and then you go in the sort of competition to win that shoe. And
gotcha.
Yeah, so it was two different comps ran simultaneously, but I was lucky. I picked, you know, I'm not a big soccer guy, but I picked the Western Sydney Wanderers to do like a shoe of for the event, and I was in Western Sydney, so I was like, surely this has got to be right.
Yeah.
And thank God that shoe was a hit. Like, that would have been it was great, but my God, that could have been like such a fail. It's like going to like a Star Trek convention with a piece of like Star Trek memorabilia and like messing it up. Like,
yeah, no,
you would be
true.
Shunned immediately. So
that's good. What are these ones on your table? It was just looking
yeah
at the Jurassic
so
Park
the Jurassic Park 90s. Like, you know, I'm a huge Jurassic Park fan.
Yeah.
And these are so great. Like, I love them.
So I don't usually talk my stuff up that much, but even like, when I do reptile skin patterns and stuff, there's like four different metallics in there. So it even shines in the sunlight like real reptile skin does.
Yeah.
Two different silvers and then the gradient, and the logo on the back is some of the most detailed work I've done in a long time. That was like doing surgery on ants. It was pretty lengthy sort of time to get those circles and ridiculous stuff, right? But yeah, I love them. That Escape Air Max 90 was recently that came out. It was like the Escape 95, 90, Air Max 1.
Yep.
Some of the best Nike product I've seen for a decade when it comes to quality. The materials were brilliant. The quality of the leather was something that I hadn't seen on a shoe since like 2005 for Nike on like a general release shoe.
Yeah.
And they even had like an exaggerated tread pattern as well, which is super cool and a nice detail. And the brown inside for that just ties in with the theme fantastically. And the lace like accents are black and red. Like, I literally couldn't have asked for a better shoe.
Perfect. Well, it's good to see that, like, I don't know, mate, is it like a repercussion of all these, like, premium sneaker brands getting a little bit more press that Nike might be putting a little bit more effort or detail and quality into their shoes? But then again, with Jordan Brand, it's just price point, right? It's like, oh, yeah, no worries. We'll give you the quality they used to be for double the price.
Well, here's a $300 laser blue. Like,
Did you cop that?
Oh, the laser four. I keep saying laser blue. No, I didn't. To be honest, I thought they were cool. I don't think I would ever wear them.
Did you get them originally? You didn't get them?
No, I missed them originally when they did the fives and fours back in like 2005 or something. Yeah, I think it was around the Sneaker Freaker issue 8, because at the Sneaker Freaker 9 launch, someone had a pair and I wanted to buy them. But it was about 10 years ago. Look, I didn't like the one piece front either, like the one like I missed the seaming and the like the contrast of that panel, but I thought overall the shoe was pretty cool. I just you know, there's other things I wanted.
I've never been super into them, but then there was a lot of guys that really really liked them, so I saw like an unboxing I think as well somewhere, and like just to sort of see
maybe if it was mine
potentially. It probably was actually just to see what the, you know, it's good to see unboxings because you don't know what they're going to be like. They were okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. Still slept.
If you haven't, if you want to check that out, I'll give myself a shameless plug. It's Lacing It Up on YouTube. It's a YouTube channel. We're getting a sneaker show off the ground at the moment. We're doing some unboxings and stuff just to build our audience up. And the Laser 4 was one of the, you know, main ones that are sort of got you a had bit of traffic a couple of recently.
Days before they dropped.
Yeah, we had them before they dropped, which was good for us. It got a bit of traffic. But I guess the only thing I've really picked up since the last episode, there's two things. We'll get to one in a little bit. But the first is the Atmos, the Sun and the Moon disc, which we have here. I just thought it was really cool. I mean, it's a, you know, Phoenix Suns kind of colorway. But a few things, like the suede's a really nice quality suede. If you haven't seen them, definitely check them out. You don't get a lot of black Puma discs. It doesn't happen that much.
No, it's, you know what, like, we had a quick chat before the show, and it's not, listen, discs aren't my deal, but
obviously mine.
Yeah, but they're like 200% yours, but that's like, you know, each to his own, that's why it's fun.
Yeah.
But I actually, it's finally, like, there's been a couple of really average colorways of this. Like,
yeah, they have.
Actually, I said a couple, I meant a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure, sick as saddens you to say yes, but like this one's pretty cool, like really cool. Even like the work of like that metallic purple with the matte purple, however they've done that speckle,
that and that speckle, I'll tell you right now, that is the best glow in the dark.
Oh, that's glow. It's,
and the outsoles glow too, and it is astonishing. Like, it is by far, the light switch is behind you on the wall, you're welcome to knock it off.
No, that's all right, I'll just do a quick,
oh, you don't need to. This light will charge it enough. Like, it is by far...
that's amazing. It's really good.
It's the best glow
too.
I've ever seen. The best glow I've ever seen.
Have you had them on yet?
They're fine. With black, gotta wear black socks, but... they're fantastic. The quality of the suede's great. Like I said, yeah, and this, the glow is the main thing for those on me. Like, I've had so many shoes in the past where, like, in a pitch black room, you still don't see glow.
Yeah.
Those, you just need, like, shade. It's ridiculous.
That's cool.
Yeah, really,
but
really
then
cool.
Again, like, there's a lot of glow. I remember picking, when I was, like, younger, collecting, I picked up, like, Dunk Highs. Oh, it might have been, like, Halloween pack or something. I've still got them, obviously. Yeah. And they were, like, all green. And if you went anywhere with a black light, it was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure with a black light, these things will look like you've got SARS or something.
But the good thing about this, like, I really like glow in the dark, but this is kind of cool. It's not over the top.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's cool.
That's cool. You know what it reminds me of too? When like a lot of shoes, they do the press shots when it's got glow in the dark and the sole like illuminates the ground or whatever. Yeah. Like that seriously did. Like this seriously, it's the first time I can say, yeah, it was ridiculous. Like when I did the custom Evangelion Air Force Ones and they had the like glow in the dark sole and stuff. And I got that shot of them glowing in the dark. Like I used a black light to accentuate it. Like I don't think I would have to with these. Like, yeah, I've banged on enough about that. But
what else did you get?
Well, we'll lead into that with another. We'll go from we'll use Puma to get to where we're going. Cheekily, Puma on the 27th of March, right?
Just a particular day. Just a particular. If anyone has anything to do with sneakers,
yeah. Well, is it the day after?
It's 27th, wasn't it? Was it 26th? Maybe it's 26th.
It's either way.
It's
sure
pretty close.
It's in the week. It was Air Max week, let's be honest. It's not really Air Max day, the way that Sneaker Freaker did their 5 days leading up and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But there's an article on Sneaker News about Puma dropping a blaze of glory in OG Air Max 1 colorways.
And they look amazing.
And they look freaking awesome.
Do you think it's a homage or like, I know you can't do this sort of stuff, but they look great.
So the thing that
it's
I
like
think
a hats
really
off
gives.
Tinker?
Yeah, hats off to Tinker.
What are we doing here?
So that's the thing. Like, I mean, look, red, white, and blue, white are not like, they're everyone's. They're not Nikes.
No.
But exactly. The way that toe box is paneled.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Like, if you haven't seen this, please check it out and you will 100% agree with this. Like,
yeah. Even Sneaker Freaker, when they wrote the article, they're like, they've got to be cheeky. Like, this is a cheeky. Like, this is them being, you know, trying to hijack a bit of Air Max Week, I think. Like, which is great.
What?
It's great guerrilla marketing.
Well played. Like,
yeah.
You know, it could have backfired and they could have made a really bad shoe, but like they're both awesome releases.
Yep.
And I could definitely see myself getting either one for sure.
And I love this from Puma too. Like, I just seriously think it's a smart move. I mean, you've pinched a little bit of the shine of Air Max Week. You're going to get cross promo. Like, even if people hate it, at least they're going to share it and then people might see it who like it. The Blaze is still a shoe that isn't completely like out there, I'd say, with like hype beasts and stuff, but
yeah,
it's one that I think totally can be.
Well, they sort of, didn't they have it on ice for so many years until Sneaker Freaker brought it back?
And yeah. And then I'm all for this. I think they look great. It's just, I think it's funny. Like, I'm definitely going to cop the blue ones. I don't wear a lot of red stuff except for the OG MX one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it was a funny, well-timed, like, cheeky move. Like, I don't, like I say, that we've already mentioned
well
that.
Executed, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I just think it was very good. I laughed when I saw it. I was just like, well played, touche. Like, I mean, I love anyone who pinches someone else's like marketing shine. Like, you want to hijack a little bit of press to go in with a bit of like sort of guerrilla style. I mean, this would have got tied in with all the Air Max Week stuff. And I mean, the last thing Nike want to see is like OG style Puma shoe on the front page of Sneaker News on Air Max Week.
Do you reckon it's even on their radar? I'm sure it is, but like, there's not going to be, you can't like copyright a color.
You can't copyright
scheme,
a colorway like that. No.
I'm sure it's on their radar, but then.
I'm sure they saw it. I mean, look, you take what people say with a grain of salt, but I mean, I've had people who work for Nike over in the States tell me they even look at customizers stuff. So like, you know, it is what it is. There's got to be, I mean, everyone checks these blogs, so they would have seen it. Whether or not it concerns them, I doubt they care.
Yeah.
But
nah, good job though.
Funny.
Good job, Puma.
So that does obviously lead us into Air Max Day and Air Max Week.
The pinnacle of Air Max Week
we have here. Which is the release of the Air Max Zero, which I do have in studio with us because Nike kindly seeded me a pair. And
I didn't get a pair. Thanks, Nike.
Oh, we'll try and sort that out. But yeah, I actually, to be honest, I think the shoe looks better in person than it did in the photos. I just think overall the story was really well executed. If they're going to go to this much effort every year for Air Max Day, like, it's becoming a huge thing. Like, the Air Max One with the Vault Soul was a big thing.
Oh, like, that was in my top five of last year. Cause yeah. I loved it. Really good job. Homage to Nike. Homage to Air Max Ones.
Yeah.
Had, you know, but it was a really contemporary look on it.
Yeah.
And then this, like, did you watch the promo video?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It was great.
I can't even... I wanted to get them based on the video. I actually slept on them and didn't buy them in the end. Just because I wouldn't mind, like, rocking them. And sort of maybe not my deal 100%. But, you know, they've done a pretty good job with it. Like, the packaging, the stuff you got with it, you got, like, a little satchel.
Yeah, so, yeah, I got the seated pair, which... So it came in, like, a plastic... sort of over the shoulder bag, but inside that was a giant like metallic silver air sealed bag which contained the oversized shoebox. So it was really great detail.
Shoebox is massive. It's like a size 14 or size 15 shoebox.
It's an oversized shoebox, and then the detailing's in the shoe if you haven't got them yourself. It comes with paper that says the one before the one. The box lid has zero on the top and a cool Air Max logo. And then on the inside of the shoe, one shoe has zero tag. The other one has 3 of 26. I thought for a second I got like a hand-signed Tinker pair. Like, I was like, oh no, that's the date. It also comes with like a cool Air Max, Air Unit hang tag, which is super rad.
There's like amazing amounts of details. It looks like a well-constructed shoe.
Yeah.
It's a new outsole, and to like completely new airbag as well.
Yeah.
Coming through the bottom of the shoe.
I think for me, like, I was slightly torn on this to begin with. Like, being the one before the one, I kind of hoped it was going to be made of materials of the time. So, like, make it out of the materials you made the Air Max One out of. Like, make it old school style. Like, if it's the shoe that was designed before the Air Max One.
Yeah, there would have been samples, I'm sure, right?
There's got to be. And I hope it's something that... maybe next year it's the one before the one out of the materials from the one.
From the one, yeah.
Look, and it's funny. I've got to make I am a wrestling nerd, and we did do a podcast last week about the wrestling. But if anyone reads the one before the one and doesn't think of Paul Heyman saying the one who beat the... like, who is the one in the 21-1 because Brock Lesnar beat... the Undertaker streak, like, cannot see where they've pinched this from. Like, the one before the one is straight out of Paul Heyman's mouth. But the one behind the one who put the 21, put the one in 21-1. I'll get it right eventually, but that's it. So, sorry, Paul. But yeah, I think it would be cool next year if we got one that was made out of old material. Like, not old material, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, it's pretty exciting to see what they'll do next year. Like, I like it when they get behind an event. They really go balls out.
Yeah.
The one thing, like, that questions me is the airbag.
At the bottom?
Yeah, I really don't know if they would have had that technology back in 1986.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, I get it. It's the one before the one. But then I guess that comes back to what you're saying is that it's not how it would have been if it was originally released. But listen, they've done it in the 2015 model for sure.
Yeah.
Like, laser welded to the shitter here. Like, awesome flat laces, like, lots of transfers. It's a rad shoe.
I'm just in awe of how in 2 years they've created this, like, day of anticipation on the calendar.
There's nothing, right?
Because, like, back in the day, you waited for All-Star Weekend because that's when Jordan's dropped. Like, or you know, there was, like, it was, but now Jordan's randomly come out. Like, no one really waits with bated breath for the Jordan 29, although I'm very excited for the Jordan 30. I think it's got to be something amazing. I heard that they were working on the Jordan 30 like 5 years ago.
Whoa.
So I'm really excited to see what's in the Jordan 30. Better be good. Yeah, I heard, like, it was not filler, but, like, almost tech experiments and stuff in the shoes leading up to what they're going to be doing in the Jordan 30. I heard that many, many, many years ago.
Oh, well, I'm pumped for that.
But it's just great that there's, like, this day in the calendar now. Like, every 26th of March, you're going to be waiting to see what Nike drop. Like,
it's
like a movie trailer, you know, like, they've really done it so well. And,
well, it's cool. Like, I reckon last year's were rad. And listen, I said you know, these weren't good enough for me to cop, but I really do still like them, but I slept on them. But no, it's awesome. I don't know what they're going to do next year. Like, something awesome. MX-90, do something cool with your
MX-90. Oh, 95 for me. Like,
well, listen, it's not, I don't know. It's not my, yeah, but I don't know. Tough call. Make a pick.
The other thing I got to say about this too, like, you know a shoe's a success when the photo I take of it makes it on the popular page of Instagram.
Yeah, that's
like, great. That doesn't happen very often.
I was actually going to text you and, like, I actually thought they had a light in them.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, if you haven't seen my Instagram picture, like, obviously I'm just at InsecureD. I assume you would already know that based on the fact that's what my podcast is called. But it's, I lit up. It was the most awkward experience of, like, ever. I had to lean forward with a hand between my legs, so you didn't see my arm between my legs in the photograph. So I had to, like, shade it, like, perfectly behind my calf. I'm trying to phrase this sentence so it doesn't sound dirty as well. And then I had to lean drastically to the left with the camera to take the photo because I don't have a Bluetooth, like, digital card in my camera. And then take the photo. And it was ridiculous. But I lit up the air unit with a little LED light. It is funny how many people, I really should have run with it. Like, I wish I did and be like, mine light up, do yours. It would have been so great because,
well, like, I thought, because I didn't have them at the time and I was like, what? They light up?
Yeah. And like, I totally could have started some like viral thing where like, everyone's like, oh, do yours light up? Like, do yours light up? I totally could have got away with it. But like, me not thinking like that, I just like was being nice. I'm like, no. You know, I just took a lot of time to take a good photo. but yeah, that photo went bananas. I think it's got like 970 likes and like, I made it on the popular page. And only like a couple of things I have done in the past have made it on the popular page.
No, it's great. So, good photo.
Yeah. Oh man, I was,
what's your, what would your favorite MX be of all time then?
Yeah, I think it's
since we're in the right week.
I think it's 95 for me. Like, it changes all the time. Like, I'd say, I think the Air Max 1 that I like best on my feet is the Air Max 1. It is the Air Max I wear. Look, I'll tell you, it's funny. When I was riding and I was painting, like, I was wearing Air Max 90s. And it seems to just be, like, part of the trend. Like, every rider I know wears Air Max 90s. But as I got older, it's become the Air Max 1.
Mm.
But my favorite, like, not on foot is the 95. Just the way it looks. I think just the line work. Like, it looks so different. it led into the 97. It just, yeah. So it's really funny. I think on foot, one, on shelf, and then sometimes on foot, 95.
Yeah, yeah. 95 is rad. It's funny. I agree with you on the 95. They're awesome. Like, I think they're cool. The OG colorway is rad. But I don't rock them that often.
And I hate every updated version of the 95 they've ever made. Anything that isn't the original shape of materials sucks. Like, it sucks. But yeah, they're not good.
For me, it'd be Air Max Lights, I reckon.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well, yeah, cool. The brother of the Air Max 1.
Yeah, totally. I really like the paneling on the, in the mid area.
It's creative.
Not mid-solid region, but like, yeah, it's kind of cool. Like, really cool shoe. Like, Air Max 1s are awesome.
Yeah.
Love 90s as well. But Air Max Lights have had some really good colorways over the years.
They had a great run about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They had awesome.
Really great
like,
run.
Even to the point where just subtle ones as well, like, you know, like a black, gray, white, red or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But then also some cool, like, neon-y colors through them. It's not, yeah, not everyone picks it as their best. I guess most people go for the 1 or the 90 or maybe the 95, whatever it is. But yeah, light. I reckon the lights are pretty cool.
Lights, yeah, it's cool. And I like that you pick something different too, like, because everyone's going to pick MX 90s.
But, 90s, well, they're amazing shoes.
Oh, it's a great shoe. I still can't believe, like, I mean, I was only 4 years old in 1990, but like, for us Aussies, Steve Monteghetti used to run marathons in Air Max 90s. Wow. That's freaking mind-blowing. Like, I remember working at Smith Street and there being a poster out the back of Monteghetti that it was signed, and he was running in lime Air Max 90s. I'm like, you got to be freaking kidding me.
That's ridiculous.
Like, yeah, I mean, and that's just how far tech has come now. Like, I wouldn't dream of, like, doing anything.
You roll your ankles.
Oh, yeah, I just couldn't
do it. It's like a high heel.
And how heavy is it now compared to, like, you know, what we've got in the running market?
Again, but again, I bet you would last a lot longer.
Yeah.
You're running, like, a pair of Lunars that first came out. You only get
the first Lunars, yeah.
10 runs out of it.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I think it's cool you picked the MX Lite. The MX Lite, the mid panel too, was always cool. They did some, like, cool experimental things with that. It looked, it almost looked like an Air Max cross trainer a little bit aesthetically.
Yeah, it did. But it sort of was, I liked it. It was a really good summer shoe. It was sort of low cut. So you could wear it with shorts, like, easily. It was, yeah. Like a nice shoe to wear, which definitely is what I'm down for.
Do you reckon, I've been trying to think about this, like, we haven't talked about this previously. I've been trying to think of what they could do for Air Max Day next year. And I know we quickly mentioned, like, maybe the Air Max Zero in different materials.
Potentially. Either that or, listen, I reckon, because they did Air Max 1 last year, yeah, and they've done Zero, like, you know, I guess we've got to go Air Max 90 now.
Yeah, it would make sense.
I don't know what they're going to do, because they've retroed the hell out of that thing, like, infrared.
It's so common now, yeah.
Yeah,
it's basically an Air Force One, the Air Max 90.
Yeah, like, I wonder what they could do to it. Maybe they'll, yeah, like, it's not like you
don't light up the air unit. I know Creaky will listen to this and punch the desk when I say that, but, like, do not light up the air unit.
No, well,
please.
I think since Nike Snows hit the dust, anything lighting up is obviously gone. But yeah, maybe 90s, or it could be something else. I guess you got to sort of count back and maybe look at another anniversary yeah, of another, like, Air Sole
shoe.
Well,
next year it will be what? It'll be 2016. Yeah, so I'm trying to, like, figure out dates in my head. Like, I mean, yeah, the 90 would have been 25 years this year.
Yeah.
So that would have been cool, but... Technically it'll probably be 26
on the 26th.
Yeah, it'll be 26th. There we go. We figured it out for them already.
All right, guys.
That's good. Nike, we would like a retainer. You can contact us at info@secured.com. And when you release 26th anniversary MX 90 next year on the 3rd of the 26th, or the 26th of the 3rd, because you write your dates backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, we look forward to getting an email.
Technically, it's the 3rd now, because you've released the Zero.
Holy shit, so it's even the 3rd Air Max
Day.
Oh,
it's really happening.
It's the most, like, it would be the most meta thing ever. This has to happen.
We'll see you next month.
Who cares about the Air Max 1 in original, the Air Max Zero in original materials now? I don't even care. No. I've sold that. I'm waiting a year to see if our idea happens.
Yeah.
I'm so happy with how that happened.
See, with a circle around it.
And the fact that we did not pre-think that is fantastic.
I can't believe we got the numbers together.
No, that's great. It's late at night. We were recording this after 10 o'clock at night. So yeah. I'm glad we figured that out. We'll quickly jump to the listener's question for this week. It is from Jared Bevan on Twitter. And if you do have a question for us or a topic that you want us to talk about, please do hit us up with the hashtag the Secure D podcast, or Secure D podcast on Twitter, or you can hit me up at Secure D, so it pops up as an alert and I can see it. But
this will make it so Matt doesn't have to spend a fortnight trying to think of topics.
Yeah, exactly. So this one so Jared's question is, will any of Nike's signature guys, Kobe, LeBron, KD, see their shoes continue once playing days are done? So I guess in the vein of Jordan, will we continue to see signature models?
Well, it's easy, right? KD, he's done it, right? Already, yeah. He's out. It's him.
Yeah, he is out. Yeah. Well, Kobe's out too.
Oh, yeah. This is true.
Well, I guess, like, it's funny that, we don't need to go in the whole Adidas D Rose thing, but I had a good think about this today, and I'm pretty sure no matter what, LeBron's line is going to continue on.
Yeah, it would. It's a good call. Like, I would say maybe, like, in all seriousness, probably Kobe.
Yeah. But see, it's interesting. So they did this restructure recently where the KDs become more expensive, and they actually produce elite KDs. And my theory behind that was that really started to happen towards the decline in Kobe's health. So Kobe's had a couple of seasons in a row now where he's had season-ending injuries. And
Achilles,
almost
Achilles, right?
Achilles,
and whatever the other one was.
And almost, like, on the dot, like, the next shoe for Durant went up in price. And I was like, it's almost like they're trying to replace that price point. Because when Kobe goes, hypothetically, if they stop making his shoes, there's only the LeBron at the peak. And what they've done is they've got the Kyrie 1 now, which is a bit cheaper. So they've got the Kyrie 1 that's kind of there at the, not entry level, still not a cheap shoe, but it's, like, you can still get it for cheaper than a KD, I guess. So you've kind of got the Kyrie taking over from the KD, which is taking over from the Kobe.
Yeah.
So they've kind of got that scale there. It never
used to be like this though, right? With Jordans, it was just Jordan though, right? Like, in terms of, like, I know that you're talking about, like, structuring and like price points, but it was just every year was the Jordan, and it had so much hype around it. Like, now sort of think, you know, whilst you're talking, I've been thinking about it. I'm like, maybe they won't live on.
Well, this is the thing, because Jordan essentially has his own label. Like, Jordan Brand is essentially a separate entity. They have separate buildings. I mean, really all that they share is tech. Yeah. I mean, all the design and everything is done separately. They have Jordan employees, Jordan designers. Like, it's almost a separate business within a business.
Yeah.
They don't have that with the Kobe's, KD's, Kyrie's, and KD's. Even Westbrook at Jordan Brand, whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he's under Jordan Brand, isn't he? Not Nike.
Melo is probably the same. I doubt Melo's not going to continue on. That's not going to happen. He'd be at the very bottom of my list. Same with CP3, not going to happen.
Maybe if he got a bit better.
Yeah. Maybe if he played defense. So I think it comes down to the Nike guys. We can drop the Addy guys. I don't think they're going to keep releasing roses. Maybe Damian Lillard's, if his career keeps going up. I think Under Armour are probably going to continue making Steph Curry's, especially if Steph Curry gets the MVP this year. Under Armour, he's their big dog, so I reckon they'll probably keep making his stuff.
Li-Ning?
Yeah, it's Li-Ning, yeah.
Were they still making...
they're making Wade's.
Yeah, they've still got those. Yeah, like...
They'll probably look. I mean, who else do Li-Ning have? So they probably will. And Wade's got a big fault. And this was leading into my next point. The China market loves Kobe, LeBron, and Wade.
Yeah.
Those three guys, particularly, have huge followings in the Asian market.
It'd be funny if we saw them when they retire switch over to Li-Ning or something like
that.
Although, listen, I'm sure there's a massive distribution of Nike through Asia.
Oh, huge. Anyway, and it's getting bigger.
It's not like they have to go through Li-Ning. I don't know. Now I'm sort of like questioning more. Well, I'm not sure who will continue.
If I had to guess, I'd say look, LeBron has kind of almost become a superstar outside of basketball. And I know obviously Kobe has too, right? But LeBron, by the time he retires, is probably going to have another championship or two every year.
After he choked.
Yeah, it's cold, but it's true.
Had to happen.
Look, I think there's a very good chance he'll get it this year in Cleveland, if not next year.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, all these injuries and players being out at the moment. But look, I think he's going to end with a career of statistics and like achievements that are on par with anybody ever.
Yeah, he's great. Like, he's very, very good.
And I think he's become a superstar. I would not be surprised if you end up seeing LeBron in like a movie or whatever. Like, it'll happen. He'll transcend the sport. And I think that's what's going to make him go to the next level and like continue on. Yeah, so I would not be surprised.
He does seem like, for some reason, I don't know if it's marketing. I know that it's got a lot to do with playing ability, but he just seems on another level to Kobe.
Yeah.
Even Kobe, when he was killing it, you know, it was still, he was great, but then maybe that was overshadowed because Jordan was sort of around at the time.
Yeah.
I know that their careers, they crossed over, but they, you know, Kobe was obviously around a little bit longer, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Not talking about retros, obviously, like we're talking about continuing on the legacy and put like a Kobe, whatever, 14, 15, 16.
Yeah. Like they're doing
not just a retro. Cause I mean, 30. Yeah. Cause I mean, they're retroing Iversons, but like Iverson ain't getting a new shoe.
No,
but I don't think so. This is the other thing I think probably goes to Kobe's detriment is that he's up to what? Like the Kobe 10 and LeBron's a couple of shoes ahead and Kobe came from an Adidas background. So Kobe started his career at Adidas and had a bunch of signature shoes at Adidas, came to Nike. So by the time Kobe retires, say it's the end of next year, he'll be on the Kobe 11. LeBron probably has another 8 years in him. Seven or 8 years. He'll be close to 20 signature shoes by the time he careers. Like
he'll be out there for
a
while.
Yeah, and he'll have another 6 to 8 signature shoes. So he'll be on, when he retires, Kobe 18, LeBron 18, LeBron 19. So he's going to have such a legacy of shoes.
I was going
to
say that.
But it's a lot easier to carry on.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, yeah, when you're up to it, it'll just be like nothing else. Like, oh, yep, the next one's coming out next year. Yeah. That'll just be it. Doesn't matter who's retired.
Yeah.
What was the last shoe that Jordan played in?
Oh, don't do that because I should know that.
No, because I don't know.
14, 15, 16. Definitely played. Had his last shot, Jordan 14s.
Oh, okay.
Well, we don't count what happened at Washington.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were doing
it. We don't count Washington. So, look, if you come into the Washington days, that was a couple of years. So, yeah, a couple on from that, but I don't count that.
Yeah. That's, yeah, okay. So he was, you know, he still had a few shoes under his belt by then.
Oh, but yeah.
It was a different kettle of fish back then anyway, because you had...
Well, his incredible deal that no one will ever get ever again in sport.
No, exactly. But also, you know, who else was as good at that sort of level, but especially with Nike putting so much money into marketing behind him. There was no one else. There was no tiered structure.
No.
It was Jordan.
Yeah.
And everyone had to have him.
I'd say Kobe's marketing to me has probably been better. I mean, his commercials recently, the one with Kanye and all the Mamba stuff, has probably been a little bit better for me than LeBron. LeBron's last commercial was great. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, it really to me comes down to them. KD, maybe in a couple of years we can put him into this conversation.
Maybe. I really like his shoes personally, but I just don't think he is at the sort of like, you've got to be above everyone.
The other
else.
Thing KD has going against him is that like the first four or five of his shoes were budget as well. Which don't get me wrong, Jordan 1, but like Jordan 2, 3, whatever. But like for now, like when it comes to retros, I think it comes down to the fact that LeBron is going to end with the most shoes in his line by the time he retires.
What if he switches?
He won't switch. He'd be so silly to switch. He's on such a good deal. I mean, well, that's something, you know what?
Adidas is stealing everyone these days.
Adidas is stealing everyone. And this is one thing we got to quickly talk about before, because we're going long and I thought we were going to be about half an hour. We've got to quickly cover this and we're going to transition into an NBA topic, which I think I saw you maybe give you a bit of a heads up about, is the license for NBA jerseys has become available.
Crazy,
because Adidas have said they don't want to endorse post 2016.
It's every team, isn't it? Right,
every team. So it's like the NFL with Nike at the moment.
Yeah, every team.
It's not like Aussie rules, obviously, where it's all up in the air. Every different brands make jerseys and stuff.
NHL's the same. It's split.
Yeah. So this is my theory. I have a theory on this. So Adidas have said no, right? So Reebok are out because they just got the UFC. Reebok are done. Adidas are done. So who does that leave that could do it? Champion? We're not seeing Champion jerseys.
No,
again.
Supreme's not going to like...
No, well, they don't have...
a Supreme collaboration with Champion.
They also probably don't have $1 billion to get the license or whatever it's going to be worth, because it'll be upwards of that, right?
Yeah.
So who are the big dogs that have got the money? You got Nike, Under Armour.
Under Armour is just like, they are the underdog and they just keep getting bigger and bigger.
So the founder of Under Armour was on... the news this morning and just become a $3 billion company, the second biggest sportswear company in America. They've taken over from Adidas, which is an incredible feat. Now, this is my theory. I have a theory on this. This has almost been a long-term play for Under Armour, because they offered KD, like $480 million or whatever, $420 million, whatever it was, and then like part ownership of Under Armour as well. It wasn't just a paycheck. It was, you can own part of this company.
Yeah.
And he turned it down. Nike had to match that payment, right? Now, part of that agreement obviously would... Now, they didn't give him part ownership of Nike, but what they would have said to him, going back to our last topic, could have been something like, we'll continue to make your shoes for another 20 years.
Yeah.
Right? So that could be like, you'll be getting a paycheck for the rest of your life from us.
Yep.
Will Under Armour retro the KD1? Probably not. Maybe, you know, maybe in 10 years, but we'll retro all your shoes. So I reckon that's part of it, right?
Yeah.
So Under Armour have got that money to play with that they didn't give to KD. Nike just sponsored, end of 2011, 2012 season, sponsored the NFL. Biggest license there is. Biggest sport for profitability in America.
Yeah, I remember the press was amazing.
Yeah. Most profitable sport in America, if I'm not wrong, is the NFL.
No, I'm pretty sure it is.
And so Nike are hugely tied up there.
Hmm.
And I'm talking completely hypothetical. I know nothing about this at all. Yeah. I think it's going to come down to Under Armour and Nike. Under Armour, if they get this license, mate, that is so huge. Like, they even talked about it. The founder talked about it today. He's chasing Nike. Like, he's like, I've caught Adidas. The next hurdle's Nike. Like, that's where we're going. The NBA license is a world-recognized premier sport. You get your logo and brand on freaking everything.
Yeah, it's right? massive.
It's
like...
huge.
Not just for the American market. We're talking like, you know, the Asian market.
Yep.
It's like, which is big into like American sports, especially
huge.
Basketball.
Now, do Nike cough up and get the license
to try and squash
out Under Armour? That's what it's going to come down to. Like, obviously, Nike aren't short of cash, right? We all remember the profitability that they announced a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
But
a little bit of money.
It kind of... Look, I don't know. Like, I don't know how many people work there or whatever. I've been there. There's like 50 buildings in head office. It's amazing. There's so many people. They have a lake, which is lovely.
I don't know how they have productivity with so many employees.
Yeah, right. But they have to be busy. Like, it's not like, oh, NBA, who wants to do NBA? There's so many people at Nike that have to be dedicated to the NFL. Where can they fit it in as another major license? I know everyone's going, like, probably people are listening, like, yeah, of course they can. They just make it. They don't just make it. There's so much that goes into this. It would almost be an entire division of Nike dedicated to the NBA.
The designs would be insane, man.
Designs, like, production, everything that comes down.
And you, like, it's not like the previous maker is going to give you all their technology as
nothing.
Well.
Nothing.
But listen, Nike... Okay,
and they're Under Armour too.
Yeah, but they've got the means to to develop fabric and make amazing stuff. But then in the same respect, Nike has screwed up a lot of stuff in the past. Like a lot of jerseys, like for me, like knowing a lot more about ice hockey than yourself, Olympic jerseys were awful.
Oh, yeah?
No one liked them.
Really?
Oh, they were disgraced. The last Winter Olympics, they were disgraceful, man. No one was happy with them. Like,
yeah.
They went on just a really left field path and it just didn't pay off.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not saying they're going to do that with the NBA jerseys, but they might.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they got rid of, you know, they weren't, they didn't have like binding around all the, like around the collar and around the sleeves.
Oh, so it was like, was it like irritating?
Oh, it wasn't irritating. It just didn't look any good.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah. Who knows?
So Nike had swingman jerseys. Some people loved them. Some people didn't. So they have had the NBA in the past.
Yeah.
It's just really going to be exciting to see which way it goes because if it goes to anyone else, I'll be surprised. Tap Out just sponsored the WWE. Funnily enough, if you listened to my last podcast, I was ranting on about somebody needing to sponsor the wrestling.
Yeah.
It looks like Tap Out just did it because it looked like they got pushed out of the UFC with
Reebok.
That'd
be a really big deal.
Yeah, look, they're not even on the same level, but with what happened in the UFC, Tap Out kind of got jammed because that was they came up with fighting and MMA. But anyway,
how much branded product is rolling around the WWE anyway? Like, I don't
very
watch it.
All like the wrestlers actually get merchandise sales rights on all their products, so it's all owned by the WWE.
But they make funneled through Tap Out now.
So yeah, I'm thinking Tap Out is going to produce it all, which takes all the production arms and responsibility off the WWE.
Yeah.
And then the wrestler might get 5% or 2% or 1%. The WWE might get 49% and then 50% will go to Tap Out. Yeah. Essentially what that's going to do is free up a whole bunch of labor and manufacturing and processing issues that they've got there within the WWE, because I know a lot of wrestlers want more product, can't get more product. It'll probably improve the product overall, but Tap Out are famous for like disgustingly flary shirts that, you know, meatheads and like junkies wear. Not to disrespect Tap Out, I do like some of their stuff, but it'll be interesting. Anyway, enough about that, back up to basketball. So I'm just excited to see which way it goes. I hope it turns into a pissing match, like I really do, like who's is bigger, because it really that is going to be an incredible step for Under Armour if they can go in 18 years to the NBA license, a $3 billion company, NBA license, Steph Curry as the guy that's probably going to win the MVP this year. It's sort of down to him, James Harden, maybe one or two other guys. If they have the MVP and make the product for the brand, like for the NBA brand, like that's just going to be huge for the Under Armour.
Oh,
so
crazy.
Nike massive. Almost just have to stop it happening. It's almost like we have to put up or shut up here. We have to stop Under Armour. So yeah, it'll be fun to see.
Yeah, it's interesting because Under Armour, it'd almost be just a marketing exercise for like, you know, take the license for, I don't even know what they're going to give it to them for, 4 years, 5 years, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And just try and grow the brand even bigger.
Exactly.
But then you're right. Nike probably might not want the license, but they might not have a choice.
Yeah, that's almost what it comes down to, I think.
Or would they like the competition? Who knows?
Yeah, well, don't get me wrong. Nike have never been a brand that shunned a competition. But,
it's great for business.
They're already a $3 billion company, though. It's not like they're an upstart, you know? So,
this is true.
Yeah, look, I'm excited to see which way it goes, but we'll wrap it up there because we've gone back into the 40-minute area. It seems like this is a 45-minute podcast and not a half-an-hour podcast.
Yeah,
that never happens.
I thought we were only going to get 20 minutes out of today.
Yeah, so did I. But so thank you for listening, everyone. Obviously, please hit us back with some topics for the next episode. And like Jared Bevan today, we'll shout you out next week next fortnight's episode if we use it. with the hashtag SecureD podcast, or hit me up with the @SecureD on Twitter. So yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys, and we'll speak to you in a fortnight.
Cool, guys. Have a good fortnight.
Cheers.